Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. Thank you for joining me, as always. So how are you? You're doing well? You're healthy, happy, unraptured? Yeah, the rapture didn't happen. I was so disappointed, too. You know, I had a little timer set. I was looking at my watch going, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and nothing. So, oh well. Now, of course, the guy who made these calculations, he has refined his calculations. He's told us, no. This thing last weekend, this was a spiritual event entirely, and the real thing, the real deal, fire and brimstone and dogs and cats living together, that one's going to be October 21st. October! So, you know, it's all really, we were judged, and October 21st, there we go. Now, some of the clever people in the audience have realized that if we were judged last Saturday by Jesus, you know, spiritual judgment, then really nothing we do between now and October really matters in terms of judgment, right? It's kind of like in high school, those last few weeks after you've applied and you've gotten into colleges, but before finals, you don't really care what you do. All you have to do is do good enough. So there we go. We got a few months of just hedonism, guys. Go out, go crazy, go nuts. Do all those things you always wanted to do. Oh, because the end is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, or maybe it's not. Who knows? But this week, I told you that we were going to talk about vampires, and not those sparkly vampires that aren't real vampires because they can go out in the sun and they're vegan or whatever they are. We're talking real vampires, blood and gore and guts and veins in their teeth vampires, and that it would be our new series for the ends of the month, since we are well and truly finished with the Dark Tower. Oh, speaking of the Dark Tower, complete sideline. I was alerted to the website T-Fury by my friend Marissa in the U.S., and T-Fury basically has one t-shirt design every day, and you can only buy that design for that day. And she very quickly got on the line and sent me email that said, dude, there's the Quartet of 19 t-shirt is on sale at T-Fury. So I went right there and I snapped it up. If you're wondering, I actually have that image in the review for the last book of the Dark Tower. So you can go see it, and you can be jealous, because I have a Quartet of 19 t-shirt, and you do not. So there we go. Anyway, back on topic. We're talking about vampires. We're talking about werewolves, and again, not the oddly hairless werewolves that you got for Twilight. And I asked you what it was. I got a lot of correct responses this week. I'm really, really happy. You guys brought a little bit of joy into my heart. The winner, or at least the first person to guess it right, was, in fact, Marissa, who correctly guessed that it is Nightwatch, the Nightwatch series by Sergei Lukyanenko, which I pray I'm pronouncing correctly. I also got correct answers from Iss, it's spelled ISS, I hope that's how it's pronounced, we'll find out, from Tristan and Rosie and my brother Paul, of course. And from you guys, see, this is why I need the connection to you guys, this is why I need my listeners to help me out. I discovered that there is a fourth book. I thought it was a trilogy. I thought Night Watch, Day Watch, Twilight Watch, done. But no, there's one more book called Final Watch, which somehow I completely missed out on. But thanks to you guys, I know it is now. And thanks to the Kindle, I can read it as soon as I'm finished reading this book about cognitive dissonance, about what happens when prophecies fail, which is very timely. So that final book is on my list, so hopefully I can have it finished and written up in time for its scheduled review. So thank you. Anyway, so we're going to talk today about the first book in that series, which is indeed Night Watch. Before we begin, I do have a couple of important notices. Notice one from the Night Watch. This review has been approved for distribution as conducive to the cause of light. And one from the Day Watch. This review has been approved for distribution as conducive to the cause of the dark. Okay, so I got all my approvals out of the way, I got my paperwork out of the way. This is Russian literature, after all, and I don't think the bureaucracy dies that easily. Okay. I know this will be difficult for a lot of you, but try. Imagine a world where magic is real. Wait, work with me here, people. It's a place where people who are sometimes called others are born with powers that they usually just don't understand. Their destinies are unwritten until that fateful day when they first become an other, when they discover the strange, shadowy, and powerful world known as the Twilight, and have to make a choice. Will they stand with the light or with the dark? Will they dedicate their lives to good or to evil? It's not actually an easy decision to make by any means. Joining either side has its limitations and its rules, for the battle between good and evil is not what it used to be. Now, long ago, it was simple. Good fought evil, dark fought light, and blood was shed on both sides. It was a vicious, unending war that threatened to decimate the world, honestly. Now, finally, the two sides reached an agreement, a treaty, well deserving of a capital letter. There would be truce between the two sides, a balance that would be maintained at all costs. Any act of evil would be balanced by an act of goodness, and vice versa. Neither side could have an advantage. Making sure the peace is kept is the job of the watches. Now, the Night Watch is staffed by elites of the light to guard against advances by the dark. And there's a Day Watch staffed by the elites of the dark to guard against the excesses of the light. We begin our look at the Others of Moscow with a young adept named Anton Sergeyevich Gorodetsky, a wielder of magic, and he's an analyst forced into the more exciting realm of field work. His job is to find out who a pair of young vampires are illegally attempting to seduce and stop him. In the process of doing that, and saving the soul of a young other named Egor, he stumbles upon something that threatens the entire city of Moscow, if not all of Russia, or if not the world. A young woman has a curse upon her head, so horrible and so powerful that the forces of light may have no chance to disperse it. If she dies, then the city will die with her. If she lives, even worse may befall the world. There are three stories in this book, somewhat independent but entirely connected. The first details the discovery of Egor and the cursed Svetlana. In the second, one of the Others of Light, a maverick who really doesn't know about the rest of the others, or the treaty, is murdering dark adepts. Somewhat alarmingly, Anton is being framed for the murders. In the third book, the third story, Moscow is gripped in a heat wave. In the midst of all this, the leaders of light are attempting to change the world. Now, whether it ends up being for the better or worse, no one can know, but Anton is convinced that this must not come to pass. It's a gripping fantasy in a very, very complex world. It's often compared to Rowling's work, and justly so, I think, although I don't think there's much of a case to be made that it's an attempt to ride on Rowling's coattail. Night Watch was originally published in 1998, which is only 1 year after the release of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. There are substantial differences, of course, making Night Watch a much, much more adult book than the Potter series is, even at the end of the Potter series. There are very few children in this series, and the few that are there are not in very substantial roles. There's a lot of drinking, there's a lot of smoking, there's a lot of sex, but the world that Lukyanenko has created is every bit as deep and complex as the one that Rowling made, or that Tolkien made, or any great fantasy writer has made. There are any number of roles that could be played, and almost an infinite number of situations that could be built on the fairly simple rules that are set up by the Light-Dark Treaty. Now, the biggest difference, of course, is in the complexity, the moral complexity of this world. Rowling's world is fairly definitive in its divisions between good and evil. There is good, there is evil, and there is no question on which one is which. The evil characters are definitively evil, and the good characters are definitively good, and the reader doesn't have to worry too much about who's on which side, Snape notwithstanding. The Others of Moscow, however, are not so clearly cut. Yes, the light is trying to do the work of the good, to make the world a better place, but their machinations and their plots do not always go as planned. See the Russian Revolution or World War II, for examples why. They ignore the law of unintended consequences and the horrors that can result from it. By trying to do good, they unleash great evil upon the world. All right, so what about the dark? Yes, they're populated by werewolves, witches, and vampires, but they're advocates of utter and total freedom. They do not destroy for the sheer joy of destruction, but because they want to increase personal freedom in the world. They're not interested in making humanity better or making a better world. They simply want to live in the world as it is, free from restraints, both internal and external. Now, while it may be pretty clear who's on the light side and who's on the dark side, it's not entirely clear who's doing good or evil at any given time. And more importantly, it's almost impossible to know who is actually right. It's a great read. It's full of anguish and self-doubt and torture like any good Russian novel should be. Anton knows that the light doesn't live up to the standards that it preaches, but he knows that he needs to be on the right side. He picks apart the intricate decades-long plots of the Night Watch and very nearly figures out how to foil it. But even in revealing the truth, he does not manage to save the world from the doom of the light. Or does he? You have to find out in the next book, which will be next month. So let me give you a line. Oh, there's a lot of good lines from this. This is the writing and the dialogue are great fun in these books. And this comes from Zabulon of the Day Watch, which means he is a knight or quote-unquote evil character. And when talking about kind of the morality of the two sides, Zabulon says, "You accuse us of cruelty, and not entirely without reason. But what's one child killed in a black mass compared with any fascist children's concentration camp?" So there you go, you know. It is an important philosophical point. If you can kill one child in a horrible black mass, it'll be miserable and bloody and disgusting, sure. But the overall good that results from it outweighs it, then is it the right thing to do? I don't know. There's the hundreds of philosophers who can tell you. But this kind of moral ambiguity and moral grayness runs through this series. So if you like that kind of thing, you're going to love this series. If you like your clear-cut black and white good and evil distinctions, then you're better off with something else. But this is good fun, and it was rather a surprise for me because I don't get along with Russian writers. I've tried the classic Russian writers, the Tolstoys and the Chekhovs, and I just can't do it. So I was very, very happy to meet a Russian writer that I enjoy. That made my day. All right. Speaking of philosophy, I'm talking about the philosophy of morality, the philosophy of what's good and what's evil, and that's all good. We're going to kind of actually continue on the bend of philosophy here, but in a different medium. We're looking at comics or graphic novels, if you will. And this is a graphic novel about philosophy and the search for ultimate truth. What is the title of the graphic novel? That is your quest for next week. I'm sure you can do it. You're all clever and good people. And that's about it over here. I'm getting into exam season soon, so I'm trying to figure out how to write exams for all my classes. That's an adventure. And I've also started another little creative project. I'm not sure yet if I'm ready to unleash it on the world. No, that doesn't sound right. Unleashing on the world makes it sound like it's important. I'm not sure yet if I want it to see the light of day. If I am, and if it goes the way I think I want it to go, then I will let you know, because I think it might be fun to get your feedback. But I'll let you know on that. Don't worry your pretty heads about that just now. So I hope that you are well. I hope that everything goes the way you want it to go. For all of my listeners in Spain, I know I've got a bunch of you. I hope your government gets its act together. I've been seeing pictures of the protests and such in Madrid. Wow. Good Lord. You know, make them do right by you. That's all I got to say to you. And for you folks in America, you got Newt Gingrich. That's good comedy. And I'm sorry Trump left, but... All right, that's enough babbling for now. We're not talking politics. We're done. We're happy. Go out. The sun is shining or not. Have a cup of tea or coffee. And I will talk to you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.